All right, so we wanted to record an episode where we talk about not just how to become a missionary, but what life looks like in Japan. If you've been paying attention, you know we recently changed our podcast title. It's not just, ministry updates, but life in Japan. And actually, Rosie's here with me today as well.
Hey guys.
And we are going to talk about language school. And
Yes.
so, I kind of always feel weird when people ask me about learning Japanese
You should.
because I grew up here, and so I don't have the traditional spin on it. But I think, Rosie being from Georgia and having to learn Japanese from literally zero makes her qualified to speak on the subject. So before we get into a lot of the deeper stuff, though, do you want to tell them how it was for you, like in general, like going into it?
Okay,
Was it
so like when we
scary?
first got here. Okay, so James and I got married, and then a couple years later, we're moving to Japan. And we, like, some people ask me, oh, was he teaching you Japanese? No, he wasn't. Because
Yeah, we
we were
didn't
in the
do that.
States, so like, there was no really, no good opportunity to practice. And we didn't, I mean, we were trying to enjoy marriage and getting to know each other as married people instead of him teaching me language. So no, he did not teach me any Japanese. And so when we landed in Japan, I could not even say hello or introduce myself to anyone yet, which was rough in the start, but we had a few months to just kind of get set up and preparing for me to actually start language school. We landed in January and I started language school in April. So during that in between, we actually set up with just a tutor for a few months just to try to get me started on basic phrases because I literally had no clue. So it was a lot at first. It was challenging and a little intimidating, but it was a ton of fun too, because especially in the beginning, like you're able to learn so much. I mean, like you go from not being able to say anything, and then you're actually able to introduce yourself, and then you're able to ask somebody how they're doing. And so like the what you learn, you get to quickly put into practice when you're here in Japan. Because everybody you see it speaks Japanese, so you get to practice with everybody. So that was really cool.
Now,
So,
you spoke Spanish before you came to Japan.
yes, in past tense, spoke is a very good way to say that. Because after studying and learning Japanese, my Spanish skills are almost non-existent now. Because when I hear Spanish and I can understand it mostly, but if I try to speak it, only Japanese will come out. I don't know if that will ever change back again or not, but for now, Japanese is the only thing that comes out, or English.
So for you, would you say, it was relatively easy picking up Japanese then?
I mean, I don't think you just pick up Japanese. I mean, maybe if you're like a super linguist or whatever, you can just pick up a language. I don't think you just pick up a language. I think it takes work. What that looked like at first was sitting down every day. I would leave our 5-month-old with a babysitter and I would go out and I would practice the phrases and I would meet with a tutor for an hour and then just go out to a coffee shop and just struggle through trying to talk to people in the coffee shop. Or just sit at the like coffee bar and like try to talk to the owner of the store. And so many times he would just like say something and then he'd look at me and be like, do you understand? Do you understand? And I'd be like, no, I don't understand. So it was very, I mean, pretty embarrassing at first, but it's worth it. And if you like have the goal and like, I'm going to learn this language, then you just push through that first awkward part. So.
What was language school like for you? Because you went to an actual school. What was it like, and would you recommend it?
Okay, yeah, so I spent. What was it, about a month meeting with tutors and going out on my own trying to talk to people and practice, have my little notebook of phrases. And then I started language school. And honestly, that was a huge relief for me to actually start attending classes because the teachers knew exactly what they were doing. It was Japanese only in class because we had several different nationalities. And so we weren't allowed to speak in sign languages. It was only Japanese in class. But the teachers were used to bringing in people who knew no Japanese and help you learn how to speak. I love language school. It doesn't mean it was necessarily easy, but it was very rewarding to go pay attention, put in the effort, practice, go home, do your homework, and then be able to go out and talk to people and use what you learned that day. Mm. So that was super, it was rewarding, though not necessarily easy. So I really would totally recommend going to an actual language school, because I feel like my Japanese started to take off so much more when I was in language school compared to just meeting with a tutor. Mm. Because when you meet with a tutor, a lot of times they're not like necessarily teaching language as a job, so they're not necessarily trained on it. They don't necessarily know what you need or how to move you along. So sometimes you kind of are looking at each other like, okay, so now what should we practice? Mm. So having an actual like curriculum, teachers, tests, checkpoints that you saw how you were doing. I loved language school. It was great.
Now, would you say if someone goes to language school, then they'll just get Japanese? Like they go to the classes, they do their homework.
I mean, they're not going to just pour it into your brain. I had classmates in the same language school as me who you could tell they just didn't really care and they didn't learn the language. So I think if you go with an attitude of I want to learn this language and going to class is a tool to learn the language and I'm going to go to class and pick up what I can to then go and practice and apply and put into use, then yes, I think you'll learn the language. If you just are like, oh, I'm gonna go to class and they're gonna teach me the language and then I can just go home and chill the rest of the day, then yeah, you're not gonna learn the language. So
would you say probably, you know, that language school would be a full-time job? Because there's some people who say, you know, you need so much time to learn the language, and that's like your job. Your job is to learn the language. Would you say it takes that amount of effort and focus to try to do that? Or do you think somebody could, you know, work a regular job and still go to language school and do really well?
All right, so what language school looked like for me was every day I showed up by 9 a.m. and I was there until almost 12 in class. And that was strictly in class. So then if I was going to go out and actually practice the language, speaking with just people on the streets or in stores, or because I had a baby, we would go to play centers and just try to interact with people there. So I think if you were trying to work a job, I don't think you could do a full-time job and do language school. I think if you did a part-time job, it would depend on other factors like, do you have a family? If you're single, maybe you could pull it off. Maybe you could pull off doing a part-time job and learning the language, especially if your job is in Japanese, because then you can use what you're learning. But for me, as a mom and a wife and still cooking meals and going grocery shopping and taking care of my child and trying to be there for my husband, I don't think I could have handled anything more than language school and trying to do those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, you mentioned you would meet with people afterwards. Like, did you have tutors as well? And what did that look like?
So not in the beginning. In the beginning, I was just focusing on classes, trying to get the basics of writing and basic communication. Eventually, I want to say maybe it was into my second year, I think, of language school. My husband and I were just talking. My husband being you. We were talking.
I was like, which one? Is there another one?
You're like interviewing me here. So it's like turned into this like. But we were talking, remember? Mm-hmm. And we're like, I kind of felt like I was hitting a little bit of a wall with the language. Like I was still going to class and learning. But it was like, I feel like I'm kind of hitting a little bit of a wall where I'm not really pushing past, and we were talking about how to overcome that. And so at that point, we actually decided to hire someone to come in to our home to cook a meal once a week, do some laundry, and do some cleaning at the house. And she came just twice a week for a couple hours to do that, to free me up to go and meet with a tutor 3 to 4 days a week on top of class. So I would have class in the mornings, and then 3 to 4 days a week, I would go for an hour and just sit down with somebody that I found online that was willing to sit down and have a conversation with me. And we would sit down at a coffee shop and just talk. Now, at that point, I'm over a year into language school, so I could carry on a conversation with somebody. And then that just helped me to really practice and get out of the groove of the normal people that I had been around to change the person. I mean, to change the
person you're talking to.
The person you're talking to. Yeah. To change the person you're talking to someone different that you're not used to, that doesn't know your quirks, that doesn't know how you talk. So that
it's
they
not
look
used
at you.
To listening yeah. to foreigners
right,
stutter
right.
through stuff.
So yeah. then you say something that maybe somebody who's used to listening to you would understand, and this person that's not used to listening to you is like, huh? And you realize,
blank stare.
Oh, I'm not saying that correctly or clearly. But that was super helpful. I think we really saw my language start to take off again after I started doing that. So that was good.
How long would you say it was before you felt like you could, you know, walk into a room and have maybe 5 minutes of polite conversation? Nothing deep, just like I could talk to you a little bit. Because, you know, if you're starting from zero.
Right, right.
Then like, how long did that take, and how did you cope in the meantime?
The first 6 months were hard because I was limited to just, you know, a few phrases that I had learned, you know, this is my name, I'm from Georgia, what's your name, what's your hobby, do you work? And at that point, you know, every time they answer, I'm straining to try to understand what they're saying. Mm. And if they ask me a question that I don't know, then the whole conversation is like, I don't know now. So the first 6 months was really hard. I really didn't have many friends yet. The Lord really did provide in that I had a couple friends that could speak some English.
Mm.
And so those were really good connecting, just to get me through that first
bridges,
6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, those bridges to really give me interaction with people that could... I could communicate more with.
Mm.
But I would say probably 6 months in is when I started actually making Japanese friends that we communicated only in Japanese, and we could, you know, manage our way through a conversation. Being able to just sit down and chat for 5 minutes with somebody I never met before. Yeah, I don't know, probably somewhere between 6 months to a year in was when that started to feel more natural instead of just terrifying. Honestly, I didn't feel comfortable making phone calls until probably a solid 2 years in.
Mm.
Like I did make phone calls, but I would agonize preparing for them. Just like, what am I going to say? Write it down, think it through. Okay, I think I know what I'm going to say, but what if they, okay, I've got to make this phone call. And then I would make the phone call. But it didn't feel natural until probably a solid 2 years in for making phone calls. So.
Would you say your time in language school and then, you know, because we were plugged into another ministry at that
right.
point a little bit and helping out here and there. Would you say 2 years was enough to help you feel prepared to minister in Japanese?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So we spent 2 years, let's see here. I guess about a year and a half in is when the couple that we were working with, I guess it was a little over a year in, the couple we were working with ended up going back to the States for several months. And that kind of pushed me too, because you know, there wasn't, you know, the other missionary wife to lean on, the veteran missionary wife who can speak the language to lean on as much. And when they did come back, I can remember we started kids program back up, and I said, you know what? I think I'm comfortable trying to teach kids program now. Mm. And so we started alternating. And it took a lot of preparation and a lot of practice and reviewing what I was going to say. But I was able to teach a basic kids Bible lesson before those 2 years were up. And then by the time that, you know, we did 2 years, we went back to the States for a brief furlough. And then we came here to Nagoya. And I mean, I had to brush up on some things, but I really feel like since we've come to Nagoya, I have felt very independent in the language, as in not really needing to lean on you for anything linguistically.
Lean on me, yeah.
Maybe you
not
feel differently.
Not the listener to the podcast, but yeah.
James.
Yeah.
To lean on you, James, for, I mean, I think when I was in language school, I still leaned on you for a lot.
Mm.
And I would say, can you make this phone call for me? Mm. Or can you set up this doctor's appointment or go with me to this?
Mm-hmm.
Or here's a text, can you read it? Can you help me translate this? I think
yeah.
I did that a lot. But then we came to Nagoya and you jumped into ministry stuff and I was like, I can do this. And I found our kids' school and
yeah.
I found a hospital. I was pregnant at the time. I found a hospital to have a baby at and all in Japanese. And I felt very comfortable with that.
Yeah, and so, what she didn't mention there, she was going to one doctor and then decided that their wait times were too long. And so and changed hospitals partway through, right?
Yeah, like 36 weeks.
36 weeks. I didn't even know where this place was. She's like, I found another place. It's closer. I think they can get me in. They accepted me, so I'm going to go over there now. I'm like, oh, okay,
great. Just to be clear, in case some of my listeners are women or, yeah, so changed at 36 weeks because the first hospital, I found out that after the baby was born, they would take the baby away for 24 hours. And then for the entire time in the hospital, every night they would take the baby away throughout the night. Mm. And I was not comfortable with that.
But also, you go for checkups and they keep you waiting for like
hours. It did take a long time for checkups.
That was really frustrating too.
So there was that too. But I think that pushed me over the edge.
You're going to what? To my child?
Yeah. I called James up and I was like, I know I'm 36 weeks pregnant. And we had this all set at this other hospital, but I want to change hospitals. And I just messaged this other one and they called me back and they said, if I can go tomorrow, they'll get me in.
Not sure if you just caught that. She was on the phone with them too. And so she handled all that. And I just basically drove her to the hospital when we were having our third child.
I don't think you'd even been to the hospital.
I hadn't even been there before that, but you've been multiple checkups and all that as well. So, and even our kids, preschool, whatever it's called. I'm not sure what English word is anymore, but you know, she found it. She'd called around to several places and set it up. And you know, I went with you to several that you found.
Actually went with me to visit
one
them
or two,
once.
Different other facilities.
But the one we picked,
well,
I actually went by myself the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had like a kids playroom thing. Yeah. And I was like, I'll just take the kids and check it out.
So
that was a huge confidence boost, I think, after 2 years of language school, seeing, okay, this worked and I can live here in Japan and speaking Japanese and navigate things for our three children and for our health and also for ministry, being able to do things with ministry and share the gospel with people. And so, yeah, that was.
Would you say it was hard for you learning the language as a mom? Because as like a single person, you know, you just go whatever, right? Like you do whatever you want kind of thing. But like when you have kids and people depending on you and a family, like did you feel like there was this tug to be like at home with your kids, taking care of your family? And did that ever feel like it was kind of colliding with, I've got to learn this language?
I mean, I think there's definitely a level of tension, right? Of like, I've got young kids and I do want to care for them well. But at the same time, learning a language is being with people. Mm. And when you have children, that's a great opportunity to be with people. Mm. So a lot of times language practice for me was, I got home from language school, I put our kid down for a nap, did homework, house chores while he was napping. And then when he woke up, we would go to the park and we would just greet every person at the park and use whatever phrases I knew with people at the park. And if Japan is great because there's tons of, it's very family friendly and kid friendly, and that there's lots of play places that you can go to just take your kid to play, and there's other moms with their kids there. So that is really, most of my language practice has come from being around other moms with our kids.
Yeah, we're not scared to let our kids out of the house here.
No.
Yeah. Like.
In fact, it's like, yes, please, let's get out of the house. So, yeah. So I think definitely being a mom, like, honestly, I look at single people and I'm like, how do you find people to talk to? Because I go out of the house with three kids and they're talking to people. And then I'm like, hi, yeah, that's my kid. And that immediately jumps into a conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how do single people overcome that awkwardness of just like talking to somebody? And I'm sure people figure out how to do it.
There's
I just
ways.
Don't have that experience.
Yeah, you go to language exchanges and events and stuff like that. Yeah.
I just get to cheat because we have kids and I'm a mom. So it's a nice way to cheat into being able to talk to people.
Now, some people think that, you know, being able to speak a language is really all you need. You know, would you say that learning to read and write Japanese isn't really that necessary for living and ministering in Japan?
I mean, do you want to have friends?
Oh, wow.
Okay, personally for me, I'm not sure. I mean, I spent time always in language school learning to write kanji and hiragana and katakana, the writing system here. And I would not say that I necessarily do a lot of handwriting of Japanese right now.
Okay.
But in order to be able to read all of the notes that come home from my kid's school, in order to be able to see signs around me, read signs around me, talk to people, read notices, read about events, see a poster and be able to pick up what it is. And then probably most importantly, we're in a digital age where you meet somebody and you're not going to pick up the phone and call them. You're going to text them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so to be able to navigate, I mean, that was one of the hard things in the first 2 years while I was in language school, is texting people was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I would wait and ask James, I would ask you, help me text this person back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't pick up your phone and read a message that just came in from your friend, that's hard.
Mm.
If you're having to feed that through Translate every single time, then it really becomes a chore to have friends. So being able to learn the reading and writing, at least to the point where you can do just the basic conversation and daily back and forth. Yeah, if I picked up a textbook, probably there'd be a lot of words that I still don't know how to read. But for your basic everyday stuff, it's a no-brainer to learn it, in my opinion.
And it's not like, you know, they change the character every time they use it, right? Like, it's not
right.
Like there's like a specific set of words that you just use in day-to-day conversation. Like, how are you is still how are you. Like, tomorrow it's not like jumble all the letters and, you know, just learning to recognize those.
So I think definitely learning that core group of just vocabulary and writing and words and reading is huge in making you feel at home and comfortable in Japan, because I do feel very comfortable here.
Do you think it would be, let me word it this way. Would a woman be able to homeschool her children and learn the language, in your opinion?
That's a touchy question, because I know some families feel convicted about the point of homeschooling their children.
But as far as a language
right,
standpoint.
I also realized that when I was in language school, the first year I had one child who was still a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second year, I gave birth 1 year through. So we had our second child 1 year through language school. So then I had two children who were very young. So they were not really school age yet. But I can't, when you ask that question,
you
I think
you and I were both homeschooled.
We both went through the homeschool system.
So we know what it's like. It's not like we're completely, you know, oblivious to homeschooling.
So I think for me, thinking back on my years in language school, I'm like, if I was trying to homeschool too, I think I might have broken.
Like mentally? Or?
Like just emotionally, maybe mentally too. Like, just the amount of responsibility, the weight that adds to your shoulder, of not only do you have to take care of the house and meals and laundry, and oh, and by the way, your laundry is different here because you're going to be hanging a lot of things out to dry, which was a big thing to get used to. So like, not only are you learning to cook in a new country, and because it's not like you're just, everything's the same as far as cooking and cleaning. Everything's different. Your cleaning products are different. So all of that is new, and you're learning all of that while learning the language. And the thought of trying to homeschool in the middle of that too, I just feel like I wouldn't really be able to do any of it well at that point. So if a friend asked me, what do you think? I would probably say it's 2 years. Find a good school that you're comfortable with, and put your kids in school so that you can learn the language. And by learning the language, you'll be able to support your family better, you'll be able to care for your kids better, you'll be able to help them through their relationships better, help them adjust better. And then when you finish language school, reconsider if it's time to homeschool. I think that would probably be how I would counsel a friend in that situation. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. You know, because a lot of times, you know, people want to know, like, what that looks like from a woman's standpoint.
Yeah.
As far as, like, can I homeschool my kids? What's that going to look like?
Yeah.
And, you know, some people, like you said, they have a very strong conviction about that. But other people, they just want to take care of their kids. And so,
right.
But if that's at the expense of your, for lack of a better word, long-term happiness and effectiveness, you know, then, you
like,
know.
If you're going to be absolutely miserable for 2 years, then you're not really going to be homeschooling them well anyway. I think it's just my personal opinion. And maybe there's women out there who have the capacity to do all of that, but I definitely didn't.
Do you know people, and you don't have to say any names or anything, mm-hmm. but do you know people in Japan who've lived here for a number of years but don't speak the language? And how would you say that they're overall, how does it seem to you with how they like Japan, how they like living here, how they like ministering here?
Yeah, I do. I do know.
And we're not trying to bash people, we're trying to give people an idea of, hey, if you go down this path and you end up not learning the language, what are you maybe walking into?
Right, right. And I think that's an important question because, you know, as moms, we do feel this, like, yes, our family has to come first. And that's true.
Right.
But that might look different. Putting your family first during language school might look different than it would at a different season in life. Like for us, at one point that meant having somebody come in to help me with the chores. Mm-hmm. That was because in order to put my family first and learn the language, I needed help.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you have to do it all yourself. So I do know some people, two or three come to mind that I have had conversations with that have said, you know, just taking care of family and kids was always just kind of a barrier. I never really learned the language very well. And I just kind of haven't really been able to make Japanese friends. Mm. And I feel like I just don't quite fit. And I love it here. My kids love it here. But it's been hard to break out of the international community because I'm not very comfortable in Japanese. And I wish I had learned it well in the beginning. So I've had people, more than one person, tell me that directly. And I can see how that would be really hard because if you don't take the time up front to try to lay that foundation and learn it well, it's like, how do you catch up? Mm. Language school is a time to say, I'm going to spend this time to focus on learning the language and the rest of my life is going to look a little different right now. You know, if you're used to cooking big meals from scratch every day, that's probably not going to happen while you're in language school. Doesn't mean you can't eat healthy, but it's just going to look different. Your house may not be the same level of clean that you're used to because it's just going to look different.
Yeah. Would you say that would be part of maybe the sacrifice? Like, I think a lot of times people think of sacrifice and missions and missionary work as like, we packed up and we left. Like, that's the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But there's also this level of sacrifice that you make when you're here in this adjustment process of like, yeah, well, I would prefer my house to be like this level of clean, but it's like five notches below that.
Right.
Or, you know, I feel like, and you know, different people have different perceptions of this, but I feel like I'm supposed to be cooking home cooked meals for my family so many times a week and I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And did you ever deal with any sense of guilt or, you know, like I'm not being a good mom, I'm not being a good wife. But I'm also trying to learn this language and like they're both kind of tugging at each other.
Yes, I think I definitely did feel this tugging, but I think something that helped me a lot is we had a lot of conversations before we got to the field. And we knew that James did not have to learn the language, but that I needed to learn the language. Mm-hmm. And we talked very clearly, but that was going to be our priority for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I can remember you telling me, we will get takeout if we need to. Mm-hmm. We will, like, it's okay. We're going to make a way for you to learn the language and we will adjust what we need to in our home for this season because it's only a season. Mm-hmm. It's not permanent. And actually, I found it hard transitioning out of that season because I was like, I'm home with my kids all day and I'm not going to language school. What am I accomplishing? And had to kind of like readjust to motherhood and embracing motherhood without the language school each day. Mm. I think you really just have to think of it as a season and realize that you're going to make, like you said, sacrifices in some ways of maybe how you always imagined married life or motherhood, that it's not going to look like that for this season, but that it's not a permanent season and it will end and you will be able to kind of readjust your goals after it. So
Yeah, I think, you know, learning the language, a lot of times, you know, the husband goes off to language school and then the wife kind of gets left at home. Or, you know, she's trying to go to language school and they're going together, but then they have kids and then this happens, that happens. She's like, well, I'll just watch the kids. And I think that's where, you know, finances definitely come into play a little
This is
bit.
true.
Like if you're just expecting, oh, we just pay for language school, well then what about your kids? Who's gonna watch your kids? And then like, okay, if you're single, then yeah, you can just eat out all the time. But if not, then that gets kind of expensive and old. And you
You're
kind
tired
of
of
want
it.
to eat at home with your family. And so, you know, Rosie, you said this a minute ago, but like we hired someone to come and do clean and cook. I think they were coming, what, twice
Twice a
a
week.
week?
She came twice a week.
Yeah. And, you know, so some of it was like, you know, I feel like that season of our life, we ate a lot of cereal.
I think
Like,
we did.
we ate a
I think we
lot of
did.
cereal. And it was still just like, I gotta go to school. I've got this going on, got that going on. Leave the dishes for the lady who's coming. And, you
That was
know,
hard.
there's.
Walking out the door with a sink full of dishes and knowing I'm leaving it for the cleaner was really hard, but
Yeah.
it helped.
But there's systems here in place that you can find people that will, you're not gonna spend an arm and a leg, right?
Basically, it's senior citizens who still want to work
Yeah.
would say, I would be willing to come. And it's not a professional in that sense of the word, but it's like a grandma who is willing to come for a few hours and
Yeah.
help clean and cook in your house.
Yeah.
And it was great. But you have to have the funds to do that.
Right. Because it
So,
adds up. It's going to be an extra. If you have them come for 3 hours each day time, you know, that's 6 hours a week. That's 24 hours of work that you're paying at like $10, $15 an hour.
I think
And.
another thing too with our kids is like when I first started language school, I knew so little Japanese that even though we could have put our child into a like daycare system for pretty cheap because it would have been funded by the city, that would have been very hard for me because I could not communicate very well for pickup and phone calls and the notes and everything that is involved with
Yeah, that's
having your
true.
kid
That
in
would
the
have been very
daycare.
hard, yeah.
But instead, we hired a babysitter to come and we paid her hourly through a babysitter's
So there was a service.
a service, right? So it's
Yeah,
not just like an
a privately
individual, but
owned
it's like
company, yeah.
a private company who has insurance and all the different things that go with that and certifications. But doing that was so much more expensive than a daycare
Oh,
would have been.
it was a lot.
It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that gave me the peace of mind that she came to our house and all I had to do was walk out the door to go to school.
Yeah, you didn't have to drop anybody
I didn't
off or
have to
pick
drop
anybody
anybody
up.
off, pick anybody up. And I had that same lady that one, well, we had two ladies, they alternated days. And we were able to build relationships with them and they worked with me and could, start understanding what I was saying. And really that just gave me so much peace of mind to be able to know that they were in our home watching our children. Daycare would have been so much cheaper, but it would have been phenomenally harder on me as a mom. But you have to have the funds to do that too.
Yeah.
So I think that is something to keep in mind if you're coming with small children,
Yeah.
is make sure you have enough funds to pay for a babysitter until you are at the point where you can put them in a small private daycare that you can actually handle the language and the back and forth with that.
Yeah, so, you know, money doesn't solve all your problems. That's not the answer, but it definitely
It does
helps.
help. Oh, and for sick days too, because if your kids have sick days and you have a babysitter in your home, it's all good. You don't have to skip school. But if you've got daycare, then you've got to keep them home.
So then you'd miss school as
You miss
well.
school.
So it just takes off that extra layer of stress. Like you're already racking your brain. Like I'm trying to figure out this like past progressive tense thing, and there's like four different ways to say it, but you know, I'm not sure. And they say that depending on the situation, what you say is different, and you're like, what? And then dealing with like your kids and everything else on the side, just bring the stress down a little bit. It just helps.
It helps so much. Helps so
So,
much.
like, you know, we hired somebody to come and help with the chores. Because, you know, there's always that layer of stress, like, oh, that floor hasn't been vacuumed, or, you know, or but the dishes are in the sink,
Or
or
I really need to scrub the shower out, but when am I going to find time to do that kind of thing?
Yeah, and still be true to my language studies. And so it doesn't have to be, I think it doesn't, what I want people to know is it doesn't have to be either or.
Right.
I think women think it's either I take care of my home or I go to language school. But you can do both because you don't physically have to scrub the shower.
Right. If you can delegate.
If you can delegate.
If you can learn to delegate and you can
and pay
have
for
the
it.
Funds,
if you have the funds
yeah. to delegate, and if you can be willing to delegate, then that can get you through. And it also, one of the ladies that came, a couple of the things I asked her to clean, she didn't clean them to the same level that I would clean them to. And I noticed that, and part of me was like super irritated about it. And then part of me was like, you know, this is okay. She took the top layer of dirt off of it. And I actually ended up picking different things for her to do that helped me as much, but then the things that I was particular about saved for myself. Mm. But just working through things like that, and if you can learn to delegate, it really does take a load off your shoulders, and you're still caring for your household. You're still being a mother that is looking out for her home, but that doesn't mean you physically have to be the one literally doing everything while you're trying to learn the language.
And I think one of them was cooking for us too. They cooked a couple meals as well. And we got to enjoy some dishes that...
Yeah, that was fun.
We got some like Japanese home cooking, which is different than restaurant food.
Right, right.
Like it's a totally different set of flavors.
And just the amazing ease of coming home and there's a meal completely ready, dished up on plates, just waiting for you to warm up for supper that night. Oh my goodness. But it was a home cooked meal.
Yeah.
It was wonderful having that twice a week.
And also, so, you know, we had people coming into our house to watch our kids or to cook food or whatever. And like, I wouldn't say, you know, we had like all these maids running around the house, you know, like in this, you know, third world country.
Right.
And like, they're like holding towels with both hands.
No.
Like, it wasn't like that. You know, they just kind of show up and they're like, hey, you know, like grandmotherly figures.
Very much, very much.
You know, for different roles. But doing that, I think also helped you maybe get adjusted to home life and living in a Japanese home. Like how are you supposed to clean the genkan where you take your shoes off?
Right.
Do you wash it? Do you sweep it?
Right, right.
What do you do?
Because you would have no idea. And then you see what they do and you're like, oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do.
How are you supposed to scrub the shower room?
Yes.
And how do you deal with the mold?
Yes.
You know, like having someone that's Japanese come in and like help you with that. And we, I remember there were several things we were like, we don't really know what we're doing. Cause you know, I did adult here. I went to the States for college and did my adult life over there. And so we were like, I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with this in our house. And it's like, we don't know what to buy. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't know what people typically do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I know how I would do it, but is that weird?
Is that right?
Is that right?
Here?
Is this wrong? So like actually having people in your home helped with that. But you didn't do language school at home. Like you had to actually leave.
Right.
Go.
I physically left, went to language school, was there for 4 hours and came home.
Now, I know some schools, maybe all of them do, I don't know, but they have this attendance thing, right? Like perfect attendance, you get a gold sticker or something like that. Did you have perfect attendance?
I would have had perfect attendance.
You would have had perfect attendance.
But I had 2 days that I skipped. One day because I went to take my driver's license test.
Okay.
And the school was going on an outing to a gym for like a sports field day. And I was like, I really don't feel like going and hanging out with a bunch of teenagers at a sports field day. So I chose that day to do my driver's test.
And you passed.
I passed the driver's test, which was great.
First try.
I think because I intentionally skipped their sports field day, the teachers were like, well, we're marking you off for that day. And even though they had makeup attendance days where like if you did something special you can make up a day of attendance, even though I did that, they wouldn't let it count for the day. They were like, no, but you missed a day, we can't give you perfect attendance because you missed a day. And then right at the very end of language school, just a few weeks before graduation, I think they'd already decided attendance actually by that point, but it was just a few weeks before graduation and one of our kids got sick, and James was out of the city. He was completely in another city on a survey trip. Probably here in Nagoya, actually.
Probably, yeah.
On a survey trip. And so at that point, our kids were in the daycare. And they called me and they said, your kid has a fever. And I was like, okay, I'm leaving school. So,
yeah.
I think that was the day they were doing haiku at school, though. So both of the days I missed were not even, like, lessons. So
They were just like extra. They were like
extra activities. Other than that, I had perfect attendance.
I mean, they had other activities too. Like, would you say, because I feel like there's a lot of classroom pressure, right? Like,
right.
Have perfect attendance. Right. Would you say that that should be a goal for somebody in language school?
I mean, you're there to learn the language, right?
Or, because were there things that you felt like, or activities that you felt like didn't contribute?
Right, right.
And if there were, what would you say might be an alternative?
I mean, I think my very perfectionist self, I was like, I'm going to do my very best not to skip. But like one of the activities we did, we went to a UNG, what do they call it?
Amusement park.
Yeah. We went to an amusement park. And I'm the only married person in the class. I'm mm-hmm. the only person with a kid in the class. Everybody else is like high school grads, early college age. And so we all went to an amusement park. And I was like, really? What are we doing?
Did you practice any Japanese?
So I did. I mean, I tried, but I mean, it wasn't really a great opportunity to do that because it was like a mostly empty amusement park during the middle of the day. And yeah, so I really walked away from that. I was like, why did I come to this? I could have just done something different today or hung out with some friends for the day. So I think that helped us to realize too, like, language school is a tool. And so you're there to learn the language. And if they do something that doesn't necessarily contribute to learning the language, you don't have to feel obligated to participate just for your attendance record.
Mm.
So I could have skipped the amusement park
and
it wouldn't
day.
Have hurt anything.
It wouldn't have hurt anything. No. You probably could have met with the tutor and actually gotten more quality.
I probably could have gone with a friend and hung out at the park and taken my kid along and gotten more Japanese practice.
And it would have saved you a lot more money too.
Yeah.
I know one missionary said that, you look at language school as not language school is going to teach me, but language school is a tool to help me learn.
Right.
So if it's not accomplishing that purpose, then you set that tool aside. And yeah, your teachers are going to, kind of be like, why weren't you here?
And James isn't saying start skipping class every day.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if there's something in the schedule that actually doesn't help you, then
don't feel bound to it. Right, right.
Yeah, do something else. Mm-hmm. I mean, you did miss that trip to Sado.
Yeah, but that wasn't for, I wanted to go on that actually.
Yeah.
They took like a one-day trip to an island that was just off of the coast of where we were living. And but they did a one-day trip, and I, at that time, had a nursing infant, and so I couldn't be gone for a whole day. Like, that just wouldn't have worked.
Couldn't take them.
So I didn't go. But that was like a fun outing thing.
It wasn't like a school.
It wasn't for credit.
Yeah, it wasn't for credit.
Yeah.
Okay. People typically have this idea that Japanese is hard. Would you say it's like only for the uber gifted, special, elite class,
I mean, I think if you grew up in Japan, Japanese is easy. And if you grew up in America, then probably English is easy. And if Japanese people, like my Japanese friends all the time, they're like, English is so hard. I mean, I think any language you're trying to learn is hard. I think Japanese has a unique set of challenges because the writing system is so complicated.
Mm.
And because when you speak, there are so many different levels in how you approach conversations with people, because there's one way you speak when you're talking to a friend, and there's a completely different way you speak when you're talking to someone who is in like a higher position than you. There's like honorific speech. And so that is a whole level that with English you speak more politely, but it's not like every single sentence changes because of who you're talking to. And in Japanese, literally every sentence, every verb changes depending on who you're talking to. So I think there's challenges to it that are different, but I don't think it's this mountain that is too hard to overcome. I think if you come and do language school and practice and say, I'm going to learn this language and it's going to be a blast and I'm going to make friends, then you'll learn it.
And pray hard.
Yeah, definitely.
One last question, and we'll wrap this up. Some people are of the persuasion that while you're in language school, you should read your Bible in the language that you're studying. You should basically just completely abandon, like put your English Bible down.
Right.
Or maybe don't even bring one.
Right.
And just, sit there with your Japanese Bible and plow through. What do you think about that?
Okay, so let me preface this by saying, I think you should have a goal to be able to read your Bible in Japanese. But on the other side of that...
When you say read, like for your devotions or like, just like in general?
Like the ability to pick up a Japanese Bible and read it and understand what it's saying. Okay. I think that should be a goal. But I would also ask you this question, which is more important, learning Japanese or your relationship with God? Because if you sacrifice your relationship with God to learn Japanese, then what are you doing? So just a little bit to explain that further. The Japanese writing and reading system has basically two different sets of phonetic alphabets and then kanji, which is Chinese characters brought in, and there are thousands of them. So if you try to pick up your Japanese Bible when you've only been here just a few months and you try to read that for your devotions, you literally are going to have to look up almost every single word. How will that be devotions, I think is my question. And then it will just become a drudgery and you won't do it. Or you'll be like, I'm working through this and I'm not getting anything out of it. So my personal advice would be stay in your English Bible and get fed in your devotional time and draw strength from that. Study Japanese other times. Sure, pick up your Japanese Bible and try to study and read it. But for your personal like time with God that you're trying to hear from God and read and understand the word, do that in English, please, because that's where you're really going to understand it. And if you get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm actually getting a lot out of church on Sundays and I'm starting to understand the Japanese Bible better and I want to read that some in my devotional time, great, go for it. But I don't think there's a reason to put that pressure on yourself because it's not really going to help you. There's lots of other ways to practice Japanese than to sacrifice your devotional time.
Have you read through the Bible in Japanese?
I have read through the New Testament in Japanese.
Okay.
I have read through Psalms in Japanese.
Okay.
And I'm working on Proverbs, and then I will be attacking the rest of the Old Testament. So no, I have not read through my entire Japanese Bible, but I'm working on it.
And by attacking, you mean like reading, not like criticizing the text, no. Right?
No, I think I've been, the Old Testament's a little more challenging because, you know, a lot of the words are more difficult. So I tackled the New Testament first and just working my way through it slowly. But honestly, even to this day, I go back and forth in my devotional time. I'll go through seasons where I only read in English, and then I'll go through seasons where I read in Japanese. And then if I start to feel dry or struggling, I'll switch back to English because it's not worth it to just press on just for the sake of I'm reading in Japanese. Like, no, I'm trying to communicate with God and I can do that in any language.
Any last words for ladies specifically, but I'm sure guys could glean something out of this. Ladies who maybe are married, have a kid or two or a few, and are thinking about coming to Japan, or, you know, their husband's like, hey, I think God's calling us to Japan. And they're like, but I've got to learn Japanese. What would be your word to them?
I think if God has put it on your husband's heart and on your heart to come to Japan, and you make that a goal to say, I believe we're here for a purpose and I want to learn this language. Yes, it will be work. Yes, it will take effort, but it is not impossible and it can be a lot of fun. And the language is the key to relationships here. And so it will be so worth your time and you might have a blast along the way. So don't be afraid of it. Yes, it's
might
a challenge.
Have a blast.
You probably will have a blast along the way.
Like, you might have a blast. Maybe not. Sorry.
I don't know. Probably a lot depends on your attitude about it. But yeah. I really think that it's not this impossible mountain to overcome. It is a challenge, but people move to Japan and learn their language for lots of other reasons besides the goal of sharing the gospel. So if we have that kind of a reason to come, then I think it would be totally worth it. So go for it. You can do it.
Awesome. Well, I know there's a lot more we could talk about.
Right.
With, you know, just culture and ministry and things like that. But I'm going to wrap this up here today. This went a lot longer than I expected.
It did.
But Yeah, hopefully we can do a few more of these.
Sounds
And
great.
yeah,
Maybe I'll ask you questions next time.
maybe, yeah, you could quiz me. That might be fun.
It might be, yeah.
So, anyway, thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Thanks, guys.